ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
The toll of the COVID-19 pandemic has caused enormous pain and suffering, both in terms of the number of people infected and killed by the virus, as well as those who have lost their jobs. It's estimated that more than 30 million people continue to be unemployed in our country today, all because of the effects the pandemic has had on our society. On this edition of UWM Today, we're going to focus on the local impact that the closings and shutdowns have had here in Wisconsin. Our guests are Val Sibikoff. He's an associate professor in UWM's Lubar School of Business, where he also serves as the Hans G. Storr Endowed Chair of Finance. And along with him, Bryce Lord, associate director of the Helen Bader Institute for Nonprofit Management at UWM's College of Letters and Science. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have both of you on today's program.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So I'd like to begin with an overview. We all see the daily news reports of how literally every part of our country has seen the effects of the pandemic impact them. Let's start with an overview here in Wisconsin. Val, describe, how are Wisconsin's industries doing overall?
Well, obviously, it's the industry that's been affected the most is hospitality industry, so leisure and hospitality, and that's the hardest hit. Other industries that we have here in Wisconsin, in manufacturing, for example, haven't been as drastically hit. Obviously, there was some problems with manufacturing for a while. But they overcame that quite quickly. So some were hit, some not. It also depends on the size of the company. So larger companies were hit more. Smaller companies were hit more than larger companies. I would summarize it that way.
And when you talk about the businesses being able to bounce back faster, a lot of that is the result of having been able to literally reopen their operations and knowing that there's something to make. There's a demand for that product, correct?
Correct. So initially there was this drop. Even if we look at the stock market, at asset prices of stocks, there's been a drop of about 30%. And then it took a little bit to rebound, but ultimately over 2 or 3 months, those prices rebounded as businesses started to open and things started to try to go back to normal, especially in the manufacturing sector. In the leisure and hospitality, for example, hotels, cinemas, they're still in trouble. So they're still down, and travels as well.
And what about the small businesses? It's often said that that without small businesses, we really wouldn't have an economy. What's happening with that sector in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, it's mostly retail that suffered tremendously as well, because a lot of the retail shifted from local businesses to larger businesses, particularly online companies. And it's been a trend even before the pandemic that local retailers were losing their business. Sales were declining there as people had more opportunity to buy from online retailers. But COVID intensified that quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we've seen with Boston store before the pandemic that the local company that went out of business. And then we also observe that at a greater scale with other retailers that are not local but had local presence here. There were a lot of bankruptcies in retail, but a lot of that business gets shifted to Amazon. We have a distribution center here. So Amazon got a big chunk of that, and other huge retailers like Walmart and Target benefited as well from that shift as people stayed at home and bought whatever they would normally buy in person at a local retailer. So they bought it online and got it delivered home.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really a question of a lot of these businesses being at a tipping point before COVID, and COVID just knocked them off.
So there was a trend. There was a trend pre-COVID, and if it's a good indication to look at stock prices. So if you look at stock prices of retailers, even one of the local ones like Kohl's, you see that there was a decline in stock price over time pre-COVID, and that is an indication that obviously the business was shrinking for them. COVID multiplied that quite a bit. And so those companies that try to shift part of their business to online, they benefited from that. But those that haven't been able to do that or didn't do that fast enough, they were hurt more. Now, with respect to the other side of the retail, which is restaurants, those got hurt as well, but not to the extent that just regular retail got hit.
Yeah, well, that's a great overview of what's happening in the for-profit sector. We're going to come back and talk more about the impact on some of the other areas of Wisconsin businesses. But first, I want to bring Bryce into the conversation. Bryce, you help people understand what are best practices in terms of managing nonprofits. If you will, let's begin by painting a picture for our listeners of just how big the nonprofit sector is here in Wisconsin.
Right. I don't think a lot of people realize that this is a lot more than charity work, and that it is a largely a professionalized workforce. We're talking almost 12% of the Wisconsin workforce is attached to a nonprofit organization of some kind. We're talking $14.6 billion in wages annually just here in Wisconsin. And it covers a broad range. I mean, a lot of people don't necessarily think of schools in many cases, especially with the voucher school system that Wisconsin is known for. Those are all nonprofits working with public funding, and to say nothing of all of the arts organizations that I think we have in the past taken for granted. You know, we kind of see a broad spectrum of how we engage with the nonprofit sector that I think flies under the radar for most people.
So as you take a look at that big part of our local economy with what one out of 12 jobs tied to nonprofits, are they all affected equally by the pandemic, or have some fared better?
I mean, you're talking about a workforce that largely supports itself by human interaction in all different phases, whether it be human service organizations, hospitals, or higher education, K through 12, arts organizations, even environmental organizations, where people may go out to parks or arboretums and engage with one another. The quarantine has pretty much hit the sector head on without, I don't know that there's been any real area that hasn't been affected to some degree. Obviously, organizations like human services are going to be seeing a far, far greater impact.
And what about the arts? You mentioned the arts. You know, there are so many sad stories these days of not only more festivals being canceled even into early next year, but just the ability to see your favorite play or an orchestra perform. A lot of that is being pushed off. I think the Milwaukee Symphony just announced that that their entire season this year will be going online.
Right.
So what does that mean to these people being able to maintain a livelihood?
Now, there are a number of organizations like the Symphony that have been very flexible and able to adjust to some sort of online programming. But those are, quite frankly, the very lucky ones. And some of the larger organizations that have the capacity, the funding, the technology to do that. Right now, estimates are that Wisconsin alone is facing, just in the past, 6 months since we've quarantined, over $38.5 million of financial losses for arts organizations around the state. And that, you know, majority of them, I would say almost 96% of them, have had to cancel some or all of their programming. So it's affecting quite a few people, obviously. We're talking, you know, thousands of people that have been furloughed or completely laid off, as well as, you know, at this point, we can kind of safely say in the hundreds that have positions that have been completely eliminated and people let go because of it. So we're kind of lucky in that arts organizations are still waiting it out a little bit in terms of hiring, staffing, so that, you know, they can kind of see how they can adjust and what kind of creativity they can engage in order to maintain their staffing levels without really then having to, whenever things do return to normal, having to sort of reinvent the wheel in terms of all of their staffing and programming. So it doesn't look good for the arts at all. Overall, I would say even nationwide, I think in the long term, I think we're going to find that these are the organizations that we see the most attrition. And I don't like using that word. It sounds very cold, but these are the organizations that aren't going to survive simply because they don't really have many other options in how to offer their programming. You know, we have a number of human service organizations that have been able to adjust to the social distancing and the masks and all of the CDC recommended measures. Arts organizations have it much harder because we're normally talking about, particular performing arts, you're talking hundreds, thousands of people in the same room enjoying the same experience. You can't really place them a good 10 feet apart and still maintain the same capacity and the same experience. And so I think that's the one that I know our offices are keeping an eye on very, very closely to kind of see where they're where this all moves for them and how, if nothing else, how we might be able to help in terms of helping to understand financial management in this time a little bit better and how we might be able to offer some tools.
Bryce, one more question on the nonprofit side, and I want to come back to Val to continue our conversation about what's happening in the business sector. Many nonprofits, as you point out, rely upon ticket sales or on a fee for the service that they're providing, if it's a social
exactly.
service agency. But a lot of nonprofits also hope for, work very hard to raise money through donations. What's happened with the donor community? Have they stuck by the nonprofits here?
For the most part, I would say the larger funders, the community foundations, the large philanthropic foundations have really been engaged and active in trying to help alleviate some of the strain. But one of the biggest concerns has been all of those individual donors, the $20 a month here and there that now we have an entire community that is worried about its own general well-being and income and job security. And so they're less likely to give to these organizations in the way that they used to. And so that's become a real concern, and I think a very realistic concern. You know, the hope is that we will come out of this in a more secure fashion in the next couple of months. But I think most people watching it closely enough realize that that's very, very, very optimistic. You know, the nonprofit organizations also rely very heavily on a volunteer workforce that pretty much dried up with the first quarantine issue, with all of the sheltering in place. And so that's been another factor that's really strained just their operational capability. But then when you add to the fact that this very, very significant revenue stream has not completely dried up from what we're seeing, but at least had a very significant dent put in it, there's a lot of concern about the overall stability and what this might look like in 2021. I think most nonprofit leaders realize we're probably not going to get back to any sense of a normal until realistically 2022, even if we do come out of this in a fairly quick time frame. We're still going to have that whole recovery period of just sort of getting back to where we used to be.
Yeah, what a perplexing challenge we have throughout the area, throughout the state on that front. Definitely. You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack, and joining us for today's program are two people who know a lot about how businesses and nonprofits not only operate, but have been impacted by the COVID pandemic. Bryce Lord is Associate Director at Helen Bader's Institute for Nonprofit Management at UWM, and Val Sibikoff is an Associate Professor in the Lubar School of Business at the University. Val, I want to come back to you and talk about one of the sectors we didn't address yet on the for-profit side, and that is farming. Agriculture is such a huge industry here in the state of Wisconsin. How are they doing in light of the pandemic?
I think that farming is something that people need on a day-to-day. So people need to eat, and that had some issues, obviously, but it hasn't been hit as hard as other industries. So there were some delays and disruptions with logistics, and that was the main issue that farming had to deal with. So we know that there were some disruptions with the dairy industry, and initially, at least. There's been a drop in demand because a lot of the restaurants closed, and so a lot of these producers had to rearrange their logistics, rearrange their sales, but they seem to be getting back on track at this point.
That's a real relief, because pre-COVID, we had heard so many horrible stories of, you know, in some cases, a dozen dairy farms a week shutting operations here in the state. But prices are up on the dairy front this time.
It seems so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Is there any business sector that has not been affected by COVID?
If we are talking about the ones here in Wisconsin, most of the sectors were affected to some degree, but some of the sectors that have been positively affected include online companies. So companies that deliver or sell online, because people started staying at home. Some of the sectors that came back quicker than others would be construction. So there was slight hit in construction, and then it came back up. And so I would say that things that are crucial, or sectors that are crucial to day-to-day livelihoods of people, were least affected. We see a lot of people talk about restaurants. But again, they seem to have made pretty quick recovery from that, because people need to eat.
Now of course we're fortunate to be in the summertime when it's still comfortable sitting outside at a table. I know a lot of restaurants have really changed the paradigm for how they provide service, with really expanding their ability to serve people outside. You wonder, though, if we don't get the pandemic under control, you wonder whether or not they'll still be in a good place come November or December, when it gets a lot more uncomfortable sitting at a table outside.
Yeah, I suspect that for a lot of industries, it's more of a permanent shift. So oftentimes we say, okay, well, when would we go back to normal? And the reality may be that that in many ways, that's the new normal for even if we deal with the COVID, and even if we alleviate that concern. For example, a lot of people will make it a habit to buy online or not to go to a movie theater and just, you know, order a movie from Netflix, or not to fly far away for their recreation, just to stay somewhere local. They will discover more things to do locally. So even with the retail, we see that there is a huge shift. But the question is whether there will be back to normal, or that's the new normal. And my prediction is that for a lot of industries, that's a permanent shift. And we can see that in the retail sector, we can see that by the bankruptcies that are occurring. In the restaurant sector, I think a lot of restaurants, even my friends that I talk to who are in the restaurant space, they say that profitability actually for them has gone up because they face lower costs. People are starting to take out more. And so for them, this new norm is better than what it was before. So there's certainly wealth redistribution, I would say. It's not that in many ways we say, well, things are worse, but those who saw the opportunity and those who adjusted to that opportunity benefited.
That's a really good point, where some see a problem, others see an opportunity, right? So challenges can open new arteries, new pathways for growth in business. How about Bryce, from the nonprofit side? Do you see that same ability to transcend the moment and begin to transform themselves as nonprofits in terms of how they provide services and businesses?
Definitely. HBI, the Helen Bader Institute, has been conducting a longitudinal study over the past year, looking into how nonprofits are dealing with all of this. And in the spring, the survey we sent out, we heard a lot of fear. We heard a lot of concern about how are we going to engage our clients? How am I going to maintain my staff? And we just wrapped up the surveying for the summer, and there's been a decided shift in just the general tone. I mean, we're still filtering through the data and all of those open-ended text responses, but what we found is that there is overall a little more stability and confidence. They've figured out the social distancing piece to a significant degree in being able to provide services for the most part. There is confidence in being able to make payroll for the next quarter that we didn't necessarily hear the first time out. And so there's a little bit of, I think, breathing deeply going on right now that we certainly didn't see earlier in the year.
Now, a big wild card, I suspect, facing people both in the for-profit and nonprofit side is what happens with additional federal aid. We've heard so many, frankly, life-saving stories of how the payroll protection plan kept nonprofits, particularly arts groups, afloat. And Val, from the business or industry standpoint, again, that made a huge difference, knowing that there was enhanced unemployment benefits for those who did lose their job. We're at a point, as we tape today's program at the end of August, we are at a point where there still has not been agreement by the feds, by Congress, or the president to replace the extra benefits that were coming. What happens if nothing happens in Congress? What impact would that have, Val, on businesses?
Well, obviously, businesses welcome any help, but a lot of people think that that's not quite fair because it's changing the rules in the middle of the game. And so on the academic side, we usually think that that's disruption, that's quite unwelcome, but we saw that over the last half a year that helped a lot of businesses survive. And if businesses lose their markets, it's harder to regain them. So so my view is that it's beneficial beneficial to have that help to especially in a crisis such as this. It's not particularly economic crisis. It's an exogenous shock, an exogenous factor that not a lot of businesses or people expected. And so government help in this time is favorable and beneficial.
Bryce, how about on the nonprofit side? How critical is it that there be additional assistance?
I think it's going to be important. It may not prove to be as important, say, as it was in this past quarter, but you know, we had a significant number of nonprofits in Wisconsin that took out payroll protection funding, smaller number with the small business loans. But I do think that, you know, some of that sense of relief that I was talking about is largely sort of resting on the shoulders of the PPP funding. And so it will be I think challenging to see how that plays out if that funding completely goes away. Now, having said that, maybe this was the window that these organizations needed to navigate the whole social distancing piece, to at least be able to get back on the wheel to some degree, to be able to provide some of their programming. I do think, as I said, arts organizations are kind of a different, they're a different horse in the race, and trying to figure out how they're going to do is going to be even more challenging, I think, in the end.
Yeah. Well, fascinating conversation. Thank you so much, both of you, for your insights into how COVID has impacted our local economy, both on the business and not-for-profit side. We look forward to better days ahead, but as you both point out, with problems come challenges, and with that, hopefully, come change and a way for people to adapt. We certainly have seen a lot of adapting taking place.
Yeah. And I will say, community. The nonprofit sector is by design very flexible and very adaptable. It's meant to be there to fill the void left by the for-profit or the public sector. And what I've been telling people is, we're seeing that resiliency in action, and I expect to see it even more as we go down the path through all of this. So we will survive.
Thank you both for your time today. Bryce Lord, Associate Director of the Helen Bader Institute for Nonprofit Management, and Val Sibikoff, Associate Professor at the Lubar School of Business, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. Thanks for taking some time to learn about the difference UWM makes with the people and the programs that we offer the community and beyond. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.